guys, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. My name is Maya Russell, and I'm with Orlando Brewing Company. We will be the featured brewery for the MTE Pint Night coming up on January 11th from 8 to 10 p.m. Orlando Brewing is Central Florida's oldest brewery, as well as one of six organic breweries in the entire country. We take a lot of pride in making beer with the best quality ingredients that you can find in North America. We'll be featuring three of our beers at the MTE Pint Night. We'll have our Blonde Ale, which is going to be a very light, approachable beer. We're going to have our Pale Ale. It's a nice, balanced Pale Ale. And my flagship beer, the I-4 IPA. You're going to find Cascade Hops in there, which gives it a nice, citrusy flavor. I look forward to seeing you all there.
All right, welcome to the special edition, DJ, special edition, MTE edition of the Pints and Polishing Podcast.
Why is it so special, Marshall?
It's so special because we got the man, the legend, the myth, the MTE guy. Sheldon, introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. I am Sheldon Kay. I am the show manager for Mobile Tech Expo happening next week in Orlando.
Definitely. So we are going to get straight into beer because that's what we like to do. Tell us what beer you got.
I'm currently drinking, it's a Stone Brewing, it's the Scorpion Bowl IPA. It's a new one to me, haven't tried it yet. It's about 7.5%, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Hey, I like that number.
Yeah, that's DJ's number.
Kick this Friday off, right?
Definitely. Yeah. We are going to be popping, if you heard that little pop noise, we are going to be doing my pumpkin ale that is fresh out of the fermenter. It's been in the 2 weeks of bottle conditioning. So cheers, Sheldon.
Hey, thank you.
Yep, cheers, guys.
This is an imperial pumpkin. Basically just means that we added an extra spice and flavor. So that's what we're going to be drinking.
Awesome.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, good. I like it. You never know when your beer, like, it's always a question mark whether or not your beer turns out okay or not. Because I've had a few that just didn't quite turn out so good.
And then there was that watermelon one.
And then there's the ones that do.
The watermelon one was
great.
Yeah,
we've had a so I'll host some parties every once in a while. And we did one that had the watermelon, and we tapped the whole keg within an hour and a half?
Yep.
2 hours, maybe?
No, it was quick.
It was very quick.
I woke up on your couch.
Yeah. definitely. All right, so we are going to be talking Mobile Tech Expo. Sheldon, like you said, it is starting next week. DJ, you are the one that first got me involved with Mobile Tech. You went before I did. So Sheldon's going to tell us, like, break down Mobile Tech, all of it to us, but what was your first memory? Like, if you remember the first time you went, what's your first memory of Mobile Tech?
So I went to Mobile Tech, it must have been 2011 or 12. I mean, it was a long time ago, but there was, it was all PDR. There was no detailers whatsoever. There was not a lot of booths for detailers. It was just heavily geared towards PDR, so it was kind of a letdown initially because I'm like, man, I come all the way here by myself. I don't know anyone. And there's barely anything to do or learn in regards to detailing. So that was my first impression. But you fast forward to last year or the year before, and it's just, full of detailers. And it's probably I almost like it better than SEMA because it's so the community is there, man.
And it's not as rushed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone's in the same hotel, in the same resort. The event layout, it's small enough to where you're going to run into a detailer you might come in from dinner one night, go walk the lobby, and you're going to see a gang of detailers everywhere. At SEMA, you might not see a detailer at all, if you're just walking, even in the SEMA show, unless you're in the North Hall. So it's just, it's amazing. But yeah, the first year I went, there was...
How long ago was it? What, 4 or 5?
I mean, 2012, 11, what was that?
Oh, 6 years ago.
I mean, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
I was a baby.
I think this is my third or fourth?
Third? I don't know.
2 years ago, we did the IDA SV testing.
And then last year
we shared the booth. So this would be my fourth year. Because the first year we went, We didn't do the SV testing, I don't think.
I don't know.
I think we just went. But I would say that would be my, for me, my fondest first memory was the IDA and how it was involved so much with the show and meeting all the different people. And like you said, I think it's such a smaller community in a sense with, because everybody's there.
It's more intimate, Marty.
It's more intimate. It's probably a better word than saying smaller. But you don't like me referring to you as small. Is that the deal?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Smalls, yeah. Great. It's just, it's how you work it.
It's not how deep you fish. It's how you wiggle your worm.
I guess so, Marty. You tell me. I don't know. I'm a big thinker.
So Sheldon, tell us about, you know, give us your story. Who are you? And then, you know, then walk us through how you got involved and everything that's involved with MTE, Mobile Tech Expo.
Sure. So I've been doing trade shows for about 10 years now. I actually grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, kind of been an IT nerd my whole life, moved out to Las Vegas, met the company I work with now. Our name is Convex. We do trade shows for a living. That's our bread and butter. We actually used to produce the SEMA show, and that's the reason I'm in this industry, because I've always been a car guy. So yeah, I'm very familiar with SEMA, know the ins and outs there. And Mobile Tech Expo, this is actually its 18th show, and Kevin Halewood started it, obviously, about 18 years ago, and he's just a great family guy. He and his family ran it out of their house, and he approached us about 3 years ago and said, I started the show, it's great, it really deserves a more like professional, true company to run this thing. So we started working with Kevin, and now Kevin's still here. He helps us out with every decision, but we kind of handle all the logistics and sales and all that type of thing.
So Kevin is sort of the founder, I guess, in a sense. He's the guy that created Mobile Tech, and then you guys are the company that he kind of subs to come in and help manage it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We actually we did buy the show from him now. Kind of what he wanted, but yeah, he's still fully involved. He's part of our team and our family, so that's not going to change anytime soon. But when he started the show 18 years ago, it was really, like you mentioned, it was kind of just only for PDR. And then the PDR guys started looking, well, we want to make more money. So then that's how detailing kind of brought it, because they can pull a dent out and then also detail your car. So then IDA got involved, and now it's a 50-50 PDR detailing show.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's definitely pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. I would say over the past couple of years since I've been, I think it's continued to grow. And then seeing the floor plan this year, I would say vendor wise, it's almost 50-50, because in the past it hasn't been.
Oh yeah, it's great.
There's a lot.
I'm super excited.
So tell me, why did he choose? Do you know why he chose the name Mobile Tech Expo? Because I say stuff to guys like, "Hey, you're going to Mobile Tech," and they're like, "Is that for phones?" Or, you know, they didn't really understand, like, what does Mobile Tech mean and why did he choose the name?
Right. So that is the struggle we run into. 18 years ago, mobile technology wasn't what it is today. So he chose the name because it meant mobile automotive technicians. So even though it was mainly PDR, it was also glass repair, vinyl repair, stuff like that. And so the mobile automotive technician still stands, but we're still called Mobile Tech Expo since the beginning.
Huh. Cool. So what's been, you think, do you have a highlight as far as the years you've been doing it? What's been some of your favorite things that you look forward to and what it is that you love about the show?
Well, I think, so last year's my first year, actually, I got to go. So we've been selling the show for 2 years now. It's just really nice to see the whole, like, community family aspect of everyone, like you said, everyone under one roof, just great networking 24 hours a day because the guys stay up at the bar all night.
Trey, we had a guy last year that almost missed his flight the next morning. And he was running through the streets trying to catch us as we were leaving. Like, we literally had no choice but to leave him because we all almost missed our flights. And that's what happened. He just stayed up all night drinking, sitting at the bar with the damn PDR guys. So we give him a hard time because he left to go meet up with this chick that he had met.
It turns out it wasn't a chick.
And he didn't show up the next morning. So we were like, hell yeah, Trey, way to go. And it turns out he was at the bar all night with dudes. And we're like, bro.
So if you see Trey, you've got to give him a hard time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No, and I think the best part has just been how open everyone is with feedback and trying to help us make the show better for everyone involved. I mean, between vendors and attendees, everyone's just been very candid in how they feel the show could evolve and become better, and we're trying to take that to heart. Obviously not take too many crazy changes at once, but, you know,
so what have been some of those crazy suggestions?
Well, one, so last year we were at the Caribe Royale, which is a great property, but they didn't have enough exhibit space for us. So we had to have two rooms for the vendors. And that was a struggle.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit that was a struggle. So one of the things we knew we had to do was find a spot that could accommodate us and accommodate the growth that we're seeing. So that's why we decided to move to the convention center and really take this show to the next level and, you know, maybe start getting some of those big hanging signs and massive entrance units you might see at SEMA. But we wanted to make sure that we still have that nice community feel. So we have our resort is the Westgate Lakes Orlando, which is still that great, nice feel, like nice bar. Everyone can hang out in the same spot, network at night. And then for the trade show world, we just have one big hall where everyone will be in the same room.
So my question, if I would give feedback, I know there's that second hall or second place for people to do demos. Is that where all the PDR guys are going to be like knocking on their stuff the whole time? Or is that still going to be in the main expo?
It's still in the main expo. The ceilings are a lot taller, though. I don't think it's going to be as bad. And even though we don't want to segment the show, we don't want to put all the PDR guys on one side, all the detailers on the other, that's kind of still where people pick their booths. So if you hear the knocking stuff, it's mostly going to be on one side of the hall.
Oh, good. Hopefully not ours. That's the only thing that kills me, is just sitting there hearing that, you know. Yeah, but it's fun. It's a great show. DJ, when you think of mobile tech, besides the community that we always talked about, what is it that you get excited about going to?
I mean, just like I said before, literally it's the community. Like,
well, I think I said besides the community.
Did you say that?
I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's on the spot. And I'm throwing you out there.
One more time on the question. Like, and make sure you say besides the community.
I did say besides the community. Like, what? I mean, besides the community, what is it that you get excited about going to the show? The weather? That's like,
you know what? It's you're in Orlando.
Exactly.
With a lot of community. That's where I was. But I mean, okay, there was that one time we went and just walked over to the bar and just hung out at the bar, and it's an outside bar, and it's just nice weather, yeah. And like the food was good. It's almost like, my wife doesn't listen to this, but it's like a vacation. Like, it's literally like a vacation. Yeah. And like, hopefully she doesn't listen to this one, because she's like,
it's fucking cold here.
Oh, it's horrible right now. So this is the perfect time to escape Tulsa, because right now it's miserable.
And I remember last year, that's what I did.
And the community was great.
And the community. I sat out of that pool for, I literally just was like, you know what? I don't care. 2 hours. I just need a moment to get some beers, sit out on a, you know, like it wasn't a lawn chair, but what do you call them? Like one of those big pool chairs. And I had about an hour until there was a storm that rolled through, and I was like, damn it. But it was still like, to me, that's what I'm, second thing that I enjoy most about the show is coming out to beautiful Orlando weather where it's not frigidly cold. So I'm glad you choose Orlando as the place.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be in the 70s next week, so it should be very nice.
Yeah, so that's right. So when we did the IDA certified
– wasn't it like hot?
Yeah, I was in flip-flops.
Oh, it was so hot.
Yeah, that was great. And I had to tell Mike Phillips, yes, you should have closed-toe shoes, and I show up at the event to get my testing in flip-flops. It was great. All right, so – this is looking at the floor plan, Sheldon. Is this the biggest one yet?
Yep, this will be our biggest by company and square foot wise. We actually have 44 brand new companies, actually 45 to sign up another one today.
Wow,
which is phenomenal. Yeah,
that is, yeah,
excited about that. And some of them have been around for a while, but they just haven't heard about mobile tech. So, like, one of the new ones is Automagic by ITW. And ITW, if you've been to SEMA, they've been there forever. But now they're like, oh, wow, all these mobile automotive technicians, absolutely, will bring our Automagic brand there. So that's very cool. And then some companies that have been here for a while, like Lake Country Manufacturing, I hear a rumor they might be debuting something brand new and cool. So make sure you check them out.
Yeah, I haven't ever seen Automagic, so that is good. I do see them at SEMA. Good for them. Carbide's been there. That's another big one. They've been there on a regular basis. I think you got a lot more coding companies this year coming out, it seemed like.
Yeah, it seems like that's a new big thing for everyone. They can make a lot of money off these coatings, and they're pretty cheap to buy wholesale-wise, and then you can install them and charge an arm and a leg to the end user. So.
Hey, why not, right?
Right.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Who else you got coming?
Let's see. On the detailing side, Viper Products just signed up yesterday. They haven't been in the show in a couple of years, so they're excited to come back. Of course, we have the normals like the McGuire's and others. Those are always great to see. But then, let's see. Of course, I know it's all about detailing, but you can't forget some of the glass guys, because you can also do some of that glass repair to make a little extra money on the side. So you can always swing by.
Oh, like rock chip repair?
Yeah, you can do the rock chip repair, then also just like glass transparency, the little like the wipe you put on people's windshields, it makes it so the water runs off.
Okay.
It's a way to make a quick buck when you're doing someone's car.
So how many? So, what's your total amount of vendors that you have there?
I believe we're up to. So it was 136 when I left the office and we just sold now. So I believe it should be 137. I think we had 117 last year. I want
to
say
117 to 137. Is that what you said?
Vendors.
Yeah.
137 vendors?
Wow.
That should be it.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then how many attendees do you have so far signed up?
We have quite a few. Honestly, I don't have that number, but we have so many people that sign up on site. It's really hard to get a feel for that. I mean, I'm sure you saw the lines last year. So those are all the people that signed up were there on site. So
what do you normally
– we're trending.
What
we're
number?
Trending well, but – it's about 3,500 usually, and we feel like we'll easily get that again. So
yeah, if not more.
Right. And education's actually pretty far up, so that actually might sell out by the end of this weekend. So if you're thinking about getting your education pass, make sure you do it soon.
So let's talk about the education day. I wanted to kind of go into, like, why should a detailer come to Mobile Tech Expo? And let's kind of go through a couple different things, like break down Education Day. What is it?
Sure. So our Education Day is the Thursday before the show. So the show runs Friday, Saturday with just Exhibit Hall. Thursday is only education, 8 a.m. to about 5 p.m.
Do people really show up at 8 a.m.?
Ian does.
Yeah, Ian will be there.
No one's super hungover on Thursday yet. It's Friday morning where we can't open until 10.
But 8 o'clock. Oof. I'm glad we're not doing 8 o'clock.
We have 6 different tracks. There should be something for everyone. If you can't find something you can learn, you let me know and I'll call bullshit on that. But we have... just on the detailing side, we have a full set of actual detailed skills sessions. Then IDA also puts on their own sessions, so you get to learn from some of the best, like Mike Phillips, like you mentioned. Then plus, we have just straight-up business sessions, how to run your small business better, how to grow. And then we have a whole digital marketing track, where like how to make a better little website, how to get better SEO on Google and all that stuff. So there's really something for everyone. And then if none of that interests you, we have some product knowledge where vendors will just be showing off how to use their Orbital better or how to use their sanders and whatnot.
That's interesting. Okay. And then I know DJ and I are doing – we've got one at 10 o'clock and then one at 11. So thank you very much for not putting us at 8 if you wanted us to be there.
Definitely.
At 10 o'clock, we're doing the profitable environmental detailing. So we're going to talk about – DJ is going to be talking about
– water conservation, water waste, waterless in general in regards to
– and why you chose to have your company be waterless.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's gonna be great. Got a lot of questions about this, so I'm pretty excited about.
And then we got Ben that's gonna be on with us. Ben, very interesting, has created solar panels. We met him at SEMA two SEMAs ago, but then he hung out with us and stayed with us last year at Mobile Tech. He came and crashed in our room with us and walked us out and showed us his van that was completely done with solar panels. So he doesn't use, and now I think he's putting them into Leafs.
Yeah, he's got a Nissan Leaf.
Yeah, so, zero gasoline emissions. He runs the, you know, the vehicle off of electricity, and then he runs all of his detailing equipment off of solar panels. And he's then going to be creating this, you know, to have available to guys too. So he's going to be talking about that. And then I'll be talking about plastic conservation and our HyperClean line and how we can reduce plastics in our industry, because nobody is. There's zero talk at all of anybody trying to reduce the amount of plastics our industry throws into landfills and oceans. So
It'd be a good little session.
I think it's going to be a good one.
Three different topics in the same realm. That's going to be pretty awesome.
And then we follow up at 11 o'clock with branding and how to grow your business through branding. DJ's huge on creating brand awareness for his company. So we'll dive into a lot of the stuff that he has learned and what he's been doing, as well as then we're going to teach people how to do podcasting and how to do some different things to locally grow their brand, so that
that's the biggest thing, is locally growing the brand. That's big.
Yeah,
very cool.
So then the next, let's see, you guys have an awards night on Thursday night. What goes on there?
So we do, every year we call for nominations for our People of the Year, we call it. There's some memorial awards and the Lifetime Achievement Award. So we do a little reception kickoff Thursday. That will be at about 4:35, right after the education. It'll be in the same building, so no one will have to go far. We'll, of course, have the bars and everything. Kevin Halewood will get up, say some words. I'll talk about the state of the show. And then we go on that, and we're just going to head over to the hotel, and I'll kick it off at the bar.
Oh, so there's a Thursday night, there's a deal at the bar too?
Oh, that's just where everyone will be.
Oh.
Literally, like,
yeah,
that's
at
how, that's
the bar
how mobile
at the resort. Westgate Lakes.
At the resort, yeah. That's the best part about it, is you can walk out and there's always community.
Bunch of dudes drinking beer.
Bunch of dudes drinking beer.
And then I know IDA has a big awards night on Friday night. So tell
Friday
us,
night, yep.
Like you mentioned earlier about IDA and this and that. So when did that evolve? How did that come about to where the IDA is so prevalent at MTE? And what's that relationship look like?
Honestly, there couldn't be a better group of people than IDA. We've been working very closely with them to work on all the education and everything. They've been with the show at least, I want to say, 4 or 5 years now. It's been a while. And just they've been a huge, huge component of growing the detailer side. So I don't think that the show could have done it without them. And we're really looking forward to the future and how we can make it even bigger and better.
Yeah, so the IDA has our annual awards on Friday, right?
Friday, yep. Friday, I think it's like 6 to 8.
Yeah, 6 to 8 on Friday. No, it is
5 to 7.
Oh, hold on, because I know ours starts. Yeah. We had a conflict.
Yeah, better be 5 to 7. I hope they didn't change it 6 to 8.
No, you're right.
No, honestly, I'm pulling that out.
Okay, good. Yeah, so Friday night, 5 to 7.
And then we'll rush over.
is the IDA awards. And like I said, I mean, IDA is the reason why I started, I think, is why I kind of got linked in with the MTE.
Yeah.
You know, at doing the SV testing. And then like it just kind of keep coming back. Last year being an RT, then we have a special meeting for RTs, and getting to be a part of the IDA stuff that they talk about there is really cool. Last year I got some Flaffa type thing. I don't know. Do you remember that? Or you were gone.
No, I came only for the, yeah.
Yeah, you were gone. It's always fun with the IDA there at MTE. So, all right. So you've already talked a little bit about the expo. But give us something that we should expect If a detailer's coming, not only are they going to get to see all these people, but what sets MTE Expo apart from other expos?
Well, obviously, community.
Yes! That's exactly right. I was just saying that.
Cheers.
I was just saying that a minute ago, man.
Cheers to community.
Yeah, cheers to that. No, honestly, this year I really hope it's going to be some of the demos. So we have this big demo area. We're actually bringing in some cool-looking cars. And we're trying to get some of the vendors to actually get out there with some hoods and, you know, show how to use their buffer. Like, don't just show off this is the best orbital ever in a box. Show it, like, exactly how it works, how to use it, get hands-on. And it's not seamless. There's not going to be 18,000 people in one booth. You should be able to get one-on-one time with the guys that made these products and know how to use them, so...
That's good to know. That's very big. Yeah, I didn't know that. So you won't get that if you come to booth 920.
We're not doing any demos, Marshall. Oh my goodness.
There's no demo. I guess I missed that email. It got mixed in the other thousands of junk mail. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Interesting. So everybody else will have good demo area. That's nice.
We might pull up a demo.
We will?
We got a couple days.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Let's figure it out.
All right. So, Sheldon, tell us about the beer that you're drinking. Tell us what you like about it. Give us some flavor notes and all that kind of fun stuff.
Like I said, so it's a Scorpion Bowl IPA. The little line here says a punch to the stinger. I'll give it that. It's probably 7.5%. Guess is it's around like 80, 85 IBU.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty, yeah.
Pretty hoppy.
It's hit me pretty hard there on the tongue. Definitely finishing with like a bit of, almost like a grapefruit though. So it's kind of bitter. And then you obviously have the bitter hops, but then a little bitter grapefruit at the end is pretty interesting. Just it really needs some food. It's not all that amazing on its own.
Yeah. So ours, DJ, what do you think? This is a pumpkin ale. I think it's got a little bit of bitterness to it. Like, there's a little twang to it for some reason. And that might be that maybe do you taste it or not?
Twang?
Is there a twang?
Mm.
Or what do you taste that? He's sipping. Mm. He's letting it sit in his palate.
Sure, there's definitely a twang.
No, I'm not trying to. You don't taste it?
I don't, man. You know what? It tastes like beer.
Tastes like beer? Do you get any pumpkin flavor in it?
There's more pumpkin than most pumpkin beers that say they have pumpkin in it, yes. I actually would, if I didn't, well, they're not labeled. No. I would say it's a pumpkin beer. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Pumpkin ale.
Speaking of beer, let's see. So, Sheldon, you came to the pint night at SEMA, right?
I did.
How was it?
It was awesome over at Gordon Beer.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun over there.
Yeah, they had a great sour beer that night that I'd never tried before.
Did you have a sour? I didn't try the sour.
I didn't. Yeah, because
yeah,
I don't
drink
sours.
They didn't have much of it, but yeah, they had it in a pitcher. It was awesome.
Nice. I missed that one. Definitely having another event at MTE we're really excited about. So you definitely got to come by and have some free beer.
Yeah, Sheldon has helped us nonstop with this. It was a bit of a struggle, right, Sheldon? But
a bit of a frustration, but I think we got through it, right?
Yeah, I think we're good. Really looking forward to a fun event. Orlando Brewing is going to be there. They're going to be the sponsored brewery. And at the beginning of the past couple episodes, we have their spokesperson come on and talk about the beers. They're going to have a blonde ale, which will probably be where I head.
You like blondes.
I like blondes in more ways than one. Then they just have a regular, you know, just a regular ale. And then
Coors. They're having Coors.
No.
Yeah.
Coors is a lager.
Oh, yeah. But they're having that, right?
No.
No lagers.
No Coors.
No Coors?
No Coors.
That's not cool.
Yeah, it's not a banquet.
Oh.
No.
It's a pint night. Not
you
a
will head towards the IPA.
Yes, I will. For what reason?
I think they said it's their I-4. It's their absolute most popular beer.
But I checked out the percent, it's not a high alcohol percent beer, so yeah. I don't know.
So
I might
not.
No.
Sheldon, do you drink normally IPAs? Is that sort of your go to, or?
Yeah, usually that's my go to around like a 6% or so. There's quite a few that I like. They're like Lagunitas is probably like my main go to for an IPA.
Yeah, we've had theirs on.
We have had
that.
Yeah,
it is good. Yeah. So I'm interested to see this I-4. How they're how theirs is.
Yeah, she said it's like their
flagship. That's their number one. Yeah, that's their number one beer. So
it might awesome. Change your life, Marty. You might like IPAs from now on.
I think I might like her.
She you might like her. Cute. I mean, is she blonde?
No.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Sucks for you.
I know.
You'll make do.
I'll make do. Marty's son.
Marty's son. You going to pimp night?
I'm going to pimp night.
All right, man.
Definitely. Hey, so Sheldon, we always rate the beer. So give us a little review. Rate your beer 1 to 5. You know, 5 being you're going to pick it up again tomorrow at the liquor store or grocery store or whatever. 1 being you'll never even think about it again.
I think I'd have to go 3 because it's not bad. It's not great. But I really think with like some food, maybe a nice steak, it would be phenomenal.
Well, yeah.
Tone it down a bit. Or yeah, maybe I'm really hungry. Really
good. Yeah, maybe you're hungry.
I think you're hungry.
He's like a nice steak. Nice steak makes what would your steak beer be? Because you normally would drink a red wine?
Yeah, I associate wine with food. I don't associate beer with food.
But there's plenty of people that drink. I wonder if there is a beer that heads towards a steak.
We should have really steak like and beer on the podcast one day.
Some people do the porters as well.
Oh, that makes sense. I wonder if that would be.
That makes sense.
Or something kind of a stout. Yeah. Hmm. Now, DJ, moment of truth.
A lot of pressure since this is your beer.
I know. A lot of pressure.
I'm going to go with a 1.5.
Good call.
No, I'm kidding. I'll give you. Hold on 1 second.
You got to try it again?
I have one more time, yeah.
I'm going to go 2.5. I don't really like my beer. I know this isn't. I taste
a
3.
I was
going to
give it a 3, though.
Give it a 3. All I'm right. giving it a 2.5. I for some
You're
reason
your own
taste it. I am. Very. I am.
Yep. I'm going to give it a 3. This is better than the beer we had on the podcast 2 days ago.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you gave it a 3.5.
Oh, shoot.
Fuck you,
damn
man.
It, damn it, damn it.
Oh, well.
We're going to edit that out. I give it a 3.5. It's better than the beer you had on the
You got to go 3.6 then, man. Jeez. Hey, Sheldon, thank you so much for the time of coming on. You have a tab out question for us. It's the end of the night where you've been sitting at the bar drinking.
He's hungry and
You're
drunk.
Hungry and drunk. It's like,
I guess my question would be, if you guys were going to learn one new thing at Mobile Tech, what would it be?
Community.
I would want to know how to have, community, literally. I just want to know if there, how strong the community is going to be this year. That's all I care about. I'm wearing a shirt that says community on it. I'm going to find one.
And then
one.
The back's going to say just a mobile
detailer, then community on the front.
That's Love too it. Funny. So, but we interrupted you. Let's make sure we get a good, clear question about it. Say it again.
So, if you're going to learn one new skill at Mobile Tech, what would it be?
Hmm. Okay.
Well, you're not doing any demos, so I'm not doing anything to learn at your booth.
I say the skill that I'm going to learn is the skill of teaching Ian to go get carpet because he does not want to have carpet at the booth. He says we don't need it.
Why not?
You don't need it. We're doing carpet anywhere.
Hmm.
Wait, nobody has carpet? I thought that was part of the...
No, it's just we're going for that urban garage look, a.k.a. we didn't want people to have to pay for carpet. So
boom.
Wow, Ian just got off the
hook. Ian literally just got off the hook.
But because normally you got carpet and padding because you can, because it's so hard to sit and stand on your feet.
It just goes against the community feel. You've got to have that urban.
So that's funny. So we're getting most of our stuff instead of using that big group that you can buy it from. We're just getting it at Walmart and having it shipped in.
You're so cheap.
That's very smart.
No, that's smart.
Is it?
It is,
bro.
Absolutely.
Oh, hey, excuse me.
They try and it was like $1,200 to get carpet from that group.
For some carpet?
Yeah. So we're getting stuff at Walmart, shipped there, we'll build it, and then we're going to donate it away to somebody. And I kept giving him a hard time about, hey, man, we need carpet. And he's like, what? We don't need carpet. I'm like, bro, we're going to stand on our feet on concrete all day for like 8 hours? Like, we need carpet.
You're going to stand on some urban.
Hey, now, if you have some padding, the whole community will come and see you.
Yes! You're gonna have the whole community there on your piece of carpet, Marty.
That's true. Hanging out there too for a while after the second day.
Hey man, as long as there's community.
Well, cool, man. Sheldon, give us you want to give us your personal social media handles, or give us the mobile tech, you know, how do you want to do that? But so people can look up the show, look you up, what, you know, how do you want to do that?
Yeah, on Twitter, we are at Mobile Tech Expo. If you want to yell at me directly, I'm at Sheldon's Log. That's S-H-E-L-D-O-N-S-L-O-G. Sheldon, like the Big Bang Theory, yes, I know. And
interesting.
Always yell at me directly also at Sheldon at MobileTechExpo.com. You can email me and tell me your gripes, or tell me how much you love the community.
So is that what you get most of the time? You just get nothing but complaints?
I mean, you look at it, reviews for anything, it's usually more negative than positive. But honestly, with this show, people are really happy. Generally, there's very, very few complaints. And if they are complaints, they're constructive on how we can make the show better. So I can't complain at all about it.
Well, good. Good. DJ, where do people find you?
You can find me, you can yell at me on Instagram, at DJ Patterson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yell at you?
Well, that's what Sheldon said. I like that.
Yeah.
Yell at me. Like, yell holler. At like,
holla.
Hit me up. But yell holla. At me. Like, yell at me. That's cool.
You can holla at me.
Uh-huh.
Total Auto Solutions. Doesn't matter. Whichever you
wherever.
Want to
wherever. You don't have a different one for each platform?
I don't.
Like, underscore this over here. Boring. Total Auto Solutions.
Very boring.
Total.
Or you can find us at booth 920.
Not doing a damn thing but standing on carpet and having community with no demonstrations.
No carpet and no demonstrations. But there'll be a guy with a big giant red beard that you can run your fingers through.
Anybody else going to be there?
Yeah. We're going to have some very special guest, Marcus. Yeah. Marcus is a special guest.
He's special.
He is.
I like Marcus.
Trey's special.
Trey is special, special.
Definitely, if you want
to meet
somebody
special. I can't wait to
hear
the stories about Trey this year. Sheldon, I'll introduce you to Trey, because there's always, always, always a story with Trey. Like, he will make this trip well worth it. Just Trey and himself.
He will make
I can guarantee
a lot.
Oh my goodness.
Trey's dad will also be there. Manny.
Does he have a name? Okay.
Manny. Yep. Manny will be there. And then we have a returned guest from last year.
I won't be there, though. I wasn't there last year.
No.
I'm not the guest.
You're not the special guest.
Okay.
Well, we already have a special guest. This is the extra special.
She's extra special?
She.
Is she? Oh, I was
you
right.
You guessed it.
Hey.
She.
I wasn't thinking any less of you, though.
Mm-mm. R1 Vet Babe. You can find her
that's
on
her name?
Instagram.
Oh, her Instagram name. Gotcha.
That's where you need to go. Her name's Kristen, but, you know, look her up as R1 Vet Babe. She does a great job for us, and she's going to be there at the booth, as well as she's coming to Pint Night.
So her bike's going to be at the booth, and you're going to be coding it?
No, we don't have demos.
Oh. Jeez.
But she does have a vet. I wonder if we can pull it into our 10x10 space.
You think she's cool with community? Like, you think she'll...
No, she doesn't do community.
She might not like the show.
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Sheldon, thank you so much for your time, man.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys. Love talking to you.
Yeah, had a great time. We'll
see
you
next
week.
Yep, very soon. All right, have a great night, guys.
See ya.